Welcome to the E-commerce Made Simple podcast. I'm Jérôme de Guigné, your host. And today we're going to talk about liquidity. So if you've got a business on or off Amazon, the problem with growing is always cash. Because when you grow, you sell more, so you have to buy more. And there's always a timing issue between when you're selling and getting the money and between the time when you have to buy, which is before that. And today we are having Tom Meek from Payoneer, which is one of our partners, which really helps sellers, specifically on Amazon, to get more cash, to be able to invest in more advertising and more stock in different things.
So this is, okay, sorry, it's Joel here, by the way. I just thought I'd interrupt Jerome whilst he's in his flow. So liquidity, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they're in China, and they're opening a shop. They have a shop, sorry, in China, but they're looking to do more, but it's selling Western snacks and, you know, Western chocolate, Western sweeties, Western crisps and cereals and all this bit. But because there are a lot more rules in place now in China about importing, they are, and it's costing them a lot more money, they are having a nightmare getting stuff in because they don't have the cash there available. And everything that they've done for the last 2 or 3 years with this little snacks company that they've got has been going well, but now they are stuck. So for a situation like that, would that be something that you would use Payoneer for?
So yes, the only difference is that Payoneer would log into your Amazon account. So Amazon is not really working in China. So they probably have local solutions. But the idea is that Payoneer will get into your Amazon account and will get all the data, right? The good thing about Amazon is that the data is very visible. So they will know, okay, what's the trend of selling, how much you've been selling, what you're expecting to get. And it gives them a very good idea of how much how much money they can give you and what's the amount of risk, because they can really assess that from the account. So you can get as much as a month, for example, worth of cash in advance, where you can use that, as I said, to do advertising or to buy more products. And that makes a huge difference.
Okay. So who are we talking to? Tom from Payoneer.
Yes, Tom is a partnership manager, and he knows quite a lot on e-commerce in general, and specifically on this thing about capital advance. So
there we go.
There we go. So welcome everyone to the session about how we help sellers on Amazon grow, specifically on anything money related, I would say, specifically capital and capital advance, but there are other things. And today it's specifically with Tom. So for those who know the sessions, we always start with a fun fact about our guest before we get to know him a bit better. So this is the first part. Tom, I hope you've worked on your fun fact. I can see you're working on it. So you have 2.5 seconds on a fun fact about yourself.
I was told to prepare a fun fact for myself, and I have completely forgotten to do that one. So a fun fact, this is very difficult. Can we do it at the end and then it will give me some time?
Okay, that's an unusual one. So we'll keep it. So probably the fun fact is the fact that you forget things you have to do, but yeah. Okay. For the most important webinar of the year, I'm surprised. So anyway, okay, no fun facts, that's okay.
I did tell you
a good fun fact, we would stop the webinar. We will not stop the webinar and we'll go on. But yeah, maybe you have something to say.
I'm doing it on purpose, just to make sure everyone that's tuned in at the start is going to join till the end, because they're so intrigued about my fun fact. So
you mean that's a marketing tactique? I can see that. Well done. Very smart. So, Tom, give us a bit more about yourself and your company in a few words before we dive into the topic.
Yeah, of course. So, first of all, thanks very much for having me. Great to be back on here. And to be representing Payoneer today, discussing obviously working capital, which I'm sure we'll talk all about in today's session. But for those of you that haven't seen me or know me in the past, my name is Tom Meek, and I'm one of the partnership managers at Payoneer. So Payoneer is a market-leading payment solution provider for e-commerce and B2B businesses. and we assist sort of the making and receiving of international payments. So we are currently across over 200 countries, over 150 currencies, and have just around 5 million active account holders at the moment. So been around for a while. Me personally, I've been in different parts of the ecosystem. So I started off in sort of the accounting and tax world and worked with Jerome for an e-commerce for many years now. And of course, sort of transitioned into the payment space, of course, at Payoneer.
And maybe my first question would be around this, let's say your change, but beyond your personal history, is like, why do you believe, or how do you believe this Payoneer specifically, but generally this money savings, like with credit cards, with cash, with the money part, let's say, which is sometimes a difficult topic, right? Complicated. How do you think that's really important and that it will sort of shape a bit the e-commerce of the future? Why is it so important for sellers, right? What was your motivation and why do you believe it's so important, maybe?
Yeah, so obviously there's so many different parts to the question, but I'd say sort of zooming in on, you know, the importance of having a payments provider, for example. I think just to maybe take a step back, I think it's amazing that so many sellers aren't actually aware of what they're being charged for FX, whether that's being paid by actually getting their funds from the marketplace, or whether they're making transfers to pay VAT or pay their suppliers. It really is incredible that a lot of sellers don't know what the rate is they're being charged. And in some cases, which we'll come on to later, it can be as high as 6, 7, 8, 9% that we see. And, you know, Amazon margins or e-commerce margins generally are very small. So if we can look at saving you the odd 1, 2, 3 upwards percent, then it's obviously going to be a great saving. And I think generally speaking, it's just really important to know your flows, to be able to, you know, like any business, to really, you know, take a deep dive into exactly what the requirements are, what the flows are in order for you to save money and be as profitable as possible.
Yeah. I feel at some extent that Amazon is generating actually a lot of costs, be it on exchange rate, be it on like sometimes refunds and you know, where you have to fight with Amazon, a lot of things. And work for the sellers and the brands is actually to fight against Amazon to retain your profitability. And if I go a bit beyond, is that from my experiences, like I remember, like maybe even 2-3 years ago, a lot of vendors would say, vendor is really, it's costing us a lot of money, it's too complicated. And a lot of people saying, seller is the easy route, you know, you can go, no brainer. But I feel that nowadays a lot of saying, actually I'm looking at my P&L and it's not that easy, right? So you really have to fight and go into those details to make sure you're profitable, right?
Definitely. Yeah, I think many years ago, as you said, it was very easy just to set up an Amazon business. And I think there's so many new tools out there which have advanced the way that sellers are, you know, articulating around selling, which I think is good and bad. It's good because it's made it much easier. The tools, you know, especially some of the sort of ERP solutions that are out there have transformed the way that sort of the larger businesses are functioning. I'd say that from a smaller business's side, I think there's so much information and so many options now that it's also become slightly confusing as well. So I think, selling online, obviously the demand is there. No one will argue with me on that. And I think COVID has obviously accelerated that hugely. And I think it's here to stay. So yeah, I think when we review sort of the opportunity, it's very, very much still there and growing consistently about 34% per year. And I think that in terms of, you know, as you say, like the P&L, the review, sellers are becoming much more critical of every aspect of the ecosystem, the journey. And really, you know, every penny you can save, every little tactic you can use when buying inventory through to your ad spend, whatever it might be, can really make that difference of what is profitable and what's not, especially when a lot of these sellers are looking to eventually exit, which has been an incredible part of what we're seeing at the moment, the rise of the aggregators, where, you know, actually all these things make a massive, massive difference.
Yeah, okay. How does that, and then we'll jump into Advance Capital, but how does that, like this raise of the aggregators, does that have an impact on how Payoneer is operating? Is that changing? It's like, are you working a lot with those aggregators? How does that impact you, let's say, as an external service provider?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think from our side, it doesn't necessarily affect us directly. I would say that, you know, back to the point of from a seller's point of view, they are being much more critical of that journey of how they expand, how they set things up. So I think a lot of sellers are becoming much more savvy that they do need a payments provider earlier on, and that will end up saving them money. It will, you know, just mean that a lot of the things that would cause more hassle are much easier. So I would say it hasn't directly affected us. We are working with the aggregators directly, and because of our working capital solution, which of course we're going to be talking about today, it means that a lot of businesses that haven't been accepted to be sold to an aggregator, there would normally be, you know, for a number of reasons as to why that isn't the case, or why they're not attractive enough. So part of a new initiative that we're running is going to be an accelerator program where sellers that are wanting to scale quickly can come to us and get the capital they need to be able to grow and to fill the shoes that they need to fill in order to actually to have a successful exit. So that's the way we're sort of working alongside them. But yeah, apart from that, I wouldn't say that's really shaped or changed the way that we operate as a company.
Okay, and let's piggyback on that last point you said. Like, you're helping brands to expand quickly and helping them on that capital thing. So I think that's very close to our topic, and the idea, and that's super interesting because indeed a lot of brands, and we work with very big brands, and obviously capital is not their issue, as they have different issues, and we work also with very small brands where it's like a couple or he and him, and they created their brand, and indeed the question is always, okay, you know, I have to buy my container in China, now my container is 10 times more expensive and all of that, so it's becoming super complicated. How do you help that? So how does it work generally, and how much? Because like some people will say, you know, I have to pay my container is 50 grand in total, and you know, I have to have one coming to Europe, maybe one, or one to UK, one to mainland Europe, one maybe to US. How much can you have? What's the kind of the dynamics?
Yeah, of course. So I think cash flow and you know, the need for capital is always, or you know, the vast majority of the time depends on the success of any business. You know, how much cash can you put in? Have you put too much cash into some aspects and not enough in others? And I think the point you raised there is around inventory. It's around general costs that might come out of the blue, or rising inflation costs that's, you know, due to the pandemic, due to you know, the cloud issues. You know, there's so many different things that can influence your supply chain, really. So I think that's a good place to start. I think you know, Payoneer's come up with a working capital solution. We know it's a requirement. Over 60% of businesses regularly struggle with cash flow. So it's very evident, especially for e-commerce sellers, because of these fluctuations, that they're going to need some sort of injection of cash at different stages. No matter how big or small you are, Payoneer have sort of adapted a new solution, which is for e-commerce sellers. Okay, so and that's really important because we're very different from how a bank loan would work. It's an injection of cash as an advance for you to further expand. So I'm sure we're going to come on to you know, what is required within that. But I suppose the ways that we can help is that, you know, once you've got your Payoneer account, we're able to offer a certain amount of money to you in order for you to remove the issues of not being able to afford things as you wait for the cash to come through.
Okay, so it's a bit in a form of advance in cash, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so, and it's probably linked to an element of how your sales velocity. So probably it's once you're logged into the seller account, so to speak, you can see what's happening and then sort of define on the results how much you can help. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. So so any seller can use our working capital solution, providing they fit the sort of the minimum criteria, which, you know, if you're looking for working capital, you most likely would have been selling for longer than sort of 6 or 8 months. I think most people would tend to look, depending on their experience. Maybe they've had other businesses, Amazon businesses in the past. But I think, most sellers are well versed before they look at, taking an advance with us. But we have a number of different products that are available, which are all slightly different. So happy to go through them. Maybe just before I do that, I can touch on, you know, what the other aspects would be around actually taking the advance and sort of the USPs around that as well. So I think that's really important as to, well, why wouldn't I take a bank loan, or why would I not go and look at another option? So I think from our side, as I said before, it is built for e-commerce sellers. Firstly, we understand that, you know, the payment cycle from Amazon isn't, it's twice a month. So, you know, we have to take that into consideration when we look at getting repayment. The application process is really, really quick. In fact, if you've already got a Payoneer account, you'll actually be, if you fit the criteria, you'll actually be pinged with potential offers. And those offers can be as much as 750,000. You know, we're talking quite a substantial amount of money. But of course, that will depend on the size of the business and the monthly receivables that you have. And then we don't actually require any personal guarantee or credit checks, which is a massive thing. You know, it doesn't affect your credit score, so it's another real added bonus. And in terms of our sort of transparency and our fee structures, it is a fixed fee. So when you enter the agreement to take a loan off or rather an advance from Payoneer, you know exactly what you're doing, and it's very clear and it's instant. So I'd say there are a few of the USPs. And back onto your question of, you know, what do you get? How is that calculated? Well, we have an algorithm, I suppose, internally that will calculate the amount that we can lend or the advance that we can give based on the monthly receivables. Okay.
Could you give an example just to get, like, let's take, you say the 750, so it's probably a max, so that's probably a difficult sum to raise maybe. But let's say, you know, make it more like 100,000, as a seller, I need 100,000. What kind of like monthly sales would they need to generate that? Is that, you know, you need 200,000 a month, or is it you need 100,000 at least? Or actually when you're doing 50,000 a month, that's okay. So what's the kind of, if you can give us I know it's an algorithm, but maybe you have some.
It's fairly straightforward from our side, to be fair. So if I maybe just run through sort of what different offers are to start off with, and then I can match that up with, because it's not necessarily based on revenue. It's so we have three main products when we talk about working capital. So we have our express offer, which is a 1 month, so a very short-term offer. Then we have our Grow, which is a 3 month product, and we have Plus, which is a 6 month product, okay, which will vary in terms of terms and repayment and so on.
Of course, yeah.
So if you, Jerome, were an e-commerce seller and you came to me and said, I would love a cash advance, and you were receiving, let's say, 100,000 per month, which would be lovely, then you would always start with what's called our express offer. So in the express offer, this is sort of like the entry level, so we can build like a rapport, I suppose, and we can get that trust and make sure that, you know, it's obviously safe for us as a company to be able to actually give you the advance, but we'd be able to offer up to 50% of your receivables. So if you're having 100,000 coming in from Amazon, for example, then we'd be able to offer you up to 50,000. Okay. And as I said, that would be instant, providing obviously you fit the criteria for that. And then the settlement period would be that we would take up to, well, 50% of your receivables until the advance has been paid off. Okay. And there's a fixed fee for that service of 1.5%. Okay. So it's very transparent. It's very low cost, I would say. And that's where sellers start on the express offer. And then we go over to a grow offer. And the grow is where we can offer up to 100%. The settlement is over 35% instead of 50%. And that's usually over a 3-month period. And of course, the fee does differ as you go up in the different products that we offer.
So on this one, let me understand. So you take the sales of 3 months. Like if we take our example of 100,000 sales a month, you have 300,000 in sales from your seller account. How much loan can you get on that grow?
So on the grow, it's still based on that 1 month on your monthly receivables, but you can get up to 100% of that. Okay. So the main difference between the express, the grow, and the plus is that the express is only up to 50%, whereas the grow is up to 100%. And then because you're borrowing, or because you're taking that advance for a larger amount, the settlement period is over a 3-month period. So we would take 35% back of
every sales. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Which makes that sense. That covers. And the plus is you can go more than 100%.
Absolutely. Up to 140%. Okay. So a lot of sellers will go between a grow and a plus. And I think it's quite, when sellers get used to it, they just love it. The amount of people I speak to that started on the express then grow. And I think, you know, what's the actual need for it? I think it's really important to highlight, you know, we talked about looking at diversifying into new markets, new product ranges. Obviously, investing in inventory is absolutely essential for peak seasons as well. So Q4, for example, you've got Prime Day, Christmas, Halloween, all of the different, peak sales periods that you can expect. You really don't want to run out of stock. It will affect your IPR scores. It will affect your general Amazon rating, as I'm sure you could provide more info on. So yeah, it's really important to know. And I suppose that injection of cash at a very low rate, very transparent and very quick, can be the difference to a seller scaling very quickly and having to wait for funds. Because I think when we talk about e-commerce, from the day I buy inventory today to when I actually get paid from Amazon, on average, I would say, is anywhere between 3 and 6 months. And not all sellers have the resources or the funds to be able to see that through and have a constant injection of cash.
Yeah. And like, do you have a say on how this money is used? Like, is it on advertising specifically? Can it be on product sourcing, or like you don't get into what it's used for?
Yeah, I don't believe that there is any sort of set criteria for it. I think it's up to the seller as to what's required. I think
so. Basically, they will get the money on their bank account or their Payoneer account, probably, and then they put it on their bank account, or whatever, or they pay the supplier directly for their Payoneer account. That's a concept.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So it's just a straightforward advance.
And can you use your Payoneer, like payment means like credit card, also to pay, for example, advertising on your, like, so you can, so it's completely transparent. You can use it as a bank or have the bank number to receive the money from the different currencies. And you can also use a credit card to do the advertising, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So a fairly new product of ours is our new commercial card. Which allows sellers to use that balance, I suppose, in favorable exchange rates and have a balance in different currencies. So it's nice and easy to use, and also gives them an opportunity to earn cash back on that as well. So the cash back rates do vary, but something that's extremely popular at the moment with, you know, a lot of our active users is that, you know, with the amount that they're spending on inventory or their ad spend, you know, Facebook, Google, whatever it might be, to be able to earn, you know, even if it's, you know, 0.5%, for example, it's still really lucrative over the course of a year. So yeah, to be able to have that cashback opportunity and also have it all under one roof within Payoneer is also part of the products that we offer.
Yeah, I get that. That's pretty powerful. And I know that as a seller, we have sellers from different parts of the world. And let's say we have the example of a Swiss seller. So it's a Swiss legal entity which opened a seller account in Germany, for example. The system recognizes the seller is Swiss. So he although the seller has a Euro bank account, the system pays the seller in Swiss francs because he decides that the seller is based and located in Switzerland, so he should be paid in Switzerland. So they sort of force, and they were sending sort of Swiss francs to Euro bank account, so there was a double exchange. It's like, when you're using Payoneer, does the system recognize that, okay, they can pay you in the currency you want, or how have you seen these kind of issues? So it's a very specific question, but
I think I understand where you're going with it. I think maybe just to give a bit of context from Payoneer's point of view on that scenario, I would say that it's extremely evident that a lot of sellers don't actually realize what Amazon charge when they actually disperse your funds to you. When, let's say, you're a UK-based seller in this example, and you're going to be receiving your funds from Amazon.com or Amazon Australia, wherever it might be, if there's a different currency involved, then if you've actually got your own bank details, as you've said, you know, in your example, in a different country, then, you know, that can cause issues, and because you're obviously going to get hit by the conversion. Now, typically, Amazon do charge, it has come down in recent months or years to around 1.5%. In most cases, it's 1.5%, and previously to that was quite a bit higher, which sellers weren't really that used to, or they just didn't really question it. And that's sort of a really important aspect, because the idea of having a Payoneer account, it allows you to have many different local bank accounts. So you would have a USD account, a Euro account, a GBP account, and the list goes on. So we cover all of the Amazon marketplace and the relevant currencies. So the reason that that's a benefit is so that when you connect your store with your bank account, you're getting paid as a local transfer, so from Euro to Euro or USD to USD, instead of letting Amazon do the conversion for you to your home bank account. So hopefully that makes sense. Is that?
Yeah. And that makes totally sense. The things we had seen also, like a seller in Europe having a seller account in Europe, but also an entity in the UK, they would put their bank account, their GBP bank account based in Europe, basically, for example, from their own bank. But Amazon would still consider that it's a whatever French, German company. So they would still remit the payments from the sales from the UK, but in Euro, because the system automatically says this is a European company and this is they're getting, so this is done automatically. So for the sellers who hear that, like and I've seen sellers, like I said, giving a GBP a bank account, and then Amazon was paying in Euro on the GBP account. And so there was a double exchange rate. And do you know about that? And do you know if there's a trick about, okay, how to, because typically if it's a typical bank, the system still wants to pay in the currency where the company is based, probably because they're interested in charging exchange rates. Is there something which can force that? Because the idea of Payoneer is having all those different countries. So like, how do you make this push the system to make sure that they pay you with in each local currency? Is there a way,
So not so much directly in that sense, but of course we are dealing with millions of sellers that are in a position that you know, their home bank account is not in the currency that it needs to be. So for them to update that, it is very, very simple to upload or to change your banking account, yeah. You know, receiving account. So on that side, I don't know how that would reflect on the exact use case that you're providing now. But from my understanding with how the Amazon system works, if you're to update your settings to, you know, having a local receiving account issued within the country that it needs to be issued in with the same currency, then I'm sure that would be recognized. But happy to, you know, if there are any specific cases.
Yeah. It probably comes to the location of the bank. So if it's a European bank with another currency, he will still. So, but that's probably a question we could. If anybody's got any question, Tom or myself would be happy to follow on that. But now, if we go back to capital, like, what are the most use cases do you see from your customers? Like, how do you see they've been using it the most successful way? Let's say.
Yeah, so I touched on a few of the most, the most frequent ways that sellers are looking to expand. So I would say that the vast majority of sellers are looking to increase the amount of inventory that they can buy. I think there's a number of reasons for that. So the main one is obviously so they don't run out of stock, of course, and preparing for peak seasons. But the other thing is obviously the negotiation power of higher volumes is also quite an attractive proposal for supplier for manufacturers. So instead of ordering 10 units, if you can order 10,000, then you're going to be getting the price down. You might even be able to negotiate sort of different terms with your supplier in the way that, like, instead of paying 50% down, you might be able to pay 30% down, which of course all helps
in terms of cash flow. Yeah,
all helps with your cash flow. And, you know, it depends on the sales cycle as well. If you've got a really short sales cycle, then that may not be as important. But for sellers, generally speaking, with shipping and the disruptions, people have had a really long wait for cash. So those sorts of things can work well. I would say that a lot of sellers have also found it extremely useful to be able to invest in you know, new marketplaces and also just new expanding to new geographies. I think that, you know, as we discussed countless times, Jerome, you know, when you look at how a seller transforms or diversifies into a new market, it does take a lot. There's some simple steps and fundamental steps that you need to take to be able to do it successfully, but it does come at a cost. And not all sellers have the, you know, the financial backing to be able to just go and do it properly. So the difference between a really successful expansion and an expansion, I think, is quite a lot. So, you know, as, you know, someone like yourselves, for example, if you want to use someone like e-commerce and, you know, fully account managed, you want to do all of your translations in the localized language, and you want to do, you know, all of the A+ and everything that's required to make a really successful launch, then you might need an injection of cash there as well. So I suppose it's identifying the opportunity and then investing in the right areas. So I would say they're the two most common. Trying to think of any others. I suppose diversifying product range and expanding the business further is what's important.
Okay, cool. So if anyone's got any questions, please do post on the Q&A. We'll be answering those questions as we go. I got still a few, and I had a couple of people contact me before who could not join with some of their questions. So one of them is like, when, at what point, or what turnover, minimum turnover, should people start to look at it? Like, because you've got this 50% rule, or like, obviously someone who's doing 6,000 a month won't get much out of it. So it's like, what's your rule of somewhere? Where do you think you start to say, okay, makes sense, doesn't make sense? Do you have
I mean, from my side, there's no right or wrong as to when the right time is for that business. I suppose it very much depends on the individual, how experienced they are. Maybe they've sold a couple of businesses, Amazon businesses already, and they're just, you know, their turnover is very little, but they know exactly how to launch into new markets. So perhaps that might be a different reasoning. But I'd say, generally speaking, sellers that are turning over probably, I'd say 10, 15, 20,000 upwards per month would be sort of a lower level, and perhaps the sales team internally might not necessarily agree with that, but I suppose it just depends on the right time for you and what that advance means to you as a business and what doors it opens. If you can negotiate down on your inventory and you can, you know, really I suppose streamline your processes with an extra 10, 15, 20,000, then great. But I'd say that it's most effective for slightly larger sellers based on, you know, the volume that they need. And it, the express offer is very much an entry level. Most sellers that are taking an advance want much more. So they're wanting sort of a couple of hundred thousand and upwards of that, because the more money they can get their hands on, the more they can do. And I think that's really what the offer allows people to do. It's really unlocking those doors to further expansion.
Yeah, I feel there's always this thing about the million a year, and it could be 800 to a million, 1.2 million is like the point where you can start to do things, invest, look at an agency, look at, because below that, it's like the amount of money you're making is just too small. So you have to build yourself or find maybe some freelancers and stuff to get to that point, and then build on further. And to the point of aggregators also, sometimes they will look at brands which are sufficiently advanced so that there is a proof of concept, so to speak. So you need to create that proof of concept, and it's probably baby step. And to your point, for me, it's like about, I think you said something very valid. It's when you look at basically your KPIs, let's say, and say, oh, where am I good? Like, is my conversion rate good? Like, are the fundamentals good? And then what's missing, you need to invest on. And that's probably where you need to know why you need the money or where you want to invest it. So I think that's very smart. Most of the time is like strategy and having a clear idea of what you want to create is super important, because the money can fly. Like if you don't make the best use, because you need to be really focused, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's certainly a lot of things to consider when you're selling online, and I think it's very easy not to pull apart the whole process and really go into detail on every part of the supply chain through to the sale. I mean, from dealing with sellers, as I said at the start, for many years, it really is incredible how many sellers don't know what they're being charged or how it's being converted. And I think the other aspect to mention is that, you know, when you get paid from the marketplace, there is a conversion in some cases, okay, in the majority. But what happens then when you want to pay your supplier in USD, but you've just converted your funds back to euro? Well, you use your bank to make an international wire transfer over to USD for your supplier in China. And the banks are then charging from my experience, anywhere from 4 to 5 to 6% in some cases. So it really is incredible when you actually pick apart the payment flows from that whole process, from, you know, buying to selling to paying your suppliers, to paying your VAT. If you're not being smart about it and you don't have a provider like Payoneer to be able to do that at much more favorable exchange rates, then you're losing out on a huge part of the margin. And it's really, really simple. You know, we don't charge anything to set up an account. You're able to have all your local receiving accounts for free. Yes, we still charge, but we charge much, much less than what you would be charged otherwise. And that will depend on the volumes of the business, whether it's all cross-border, whether it's same currency, and what they're looking to get out of their Payoneer account.
Okay, very insightful. Now, another question is, if we compare to what's on the market, like you've got other suppliers in that area which are very Amazon specific, but if we also look at a broader scope, like TransferWise is a very well known tool, for example, to do transfers and to have lower fees. How do you address that first on like the direct competitive landscape of why Payoneer makes sense and to the wider also to the other tools, right, of transfers and stuff like that? Because as soon as you're in Europe and the US, of course, as you said, you have to pay things in USD and you've got in euro and in GBPs and that all starts to get complicated. So what's your take on that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, of course, there's other competitors within the space. I'd say that in terms of where we're sort of the market leader, so to say, I think we've built a very strong reputation around Payoneer for these reasons, and the fact that, you know, that the products prove themselves, that they save a huge amount of money for sellers, and we've got the kit bag, so to say, to be able to service them in the right way. So I would say that you know, having the resources and the tech that we have in place is definitely advanced. And I would say that, you know, when one of the most important things, of course, is not only the servicing, but it's also the fees. A lot of other providers are very transparent, as are we to a certain extent. So I'd say that in a lot of cases, we can be very, very competitive and usually do something there to better different rates and different options. But really, we take a deep dive into the wider scope of services that they require. And I'd say that probably the biggest USP that we have over other providers is the scope of products and the industry that we have. So, you know, it's not just a e-wallet solution. It's, you know, it's not just a receiving account where you save money on the FX. We're also able to offer working capital, which others can't do. Mm. We're also able to offer the commercial card, which obviously allows you to earn off what you're spending. And I think obviously where we completed our IPO only very recently, there's a lot of new projects and new things that are going on. So there's a lot of scope to, you know, what's coming in the future, I'm sure. And I think that's only going to be improving the user experience and to really, you know, continue to be the market leader within the space.
And so thank you very much. But one, you're talking about the future. Where do you think that, like, specifically in this environment of yours, where do you think we will be heading to? What do you see? Like, we need your crystal ball and you know, what's going to happen? What do you see are the big trends, or which would be interesting to our audience of sellers of, okay, what would make sense here? You know,
very difficult question. Yeah, difficult question to answer. I mean, from Payoneer's perspective, I'm not too sure on the direction of exactly what projects are being worked on, but I know that, you know, we're wanting to be you know, continue to be the leading provider within the payment space, but also like on a wider level as well. So other areas in which we can get involved in to make the seller experience much better, but also to look at new verticals and, you know, new potential opportunities for us to get involved in, which makes sense within the payments ecosystem. So yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of exciting things that are going to be coming out over the coming months. But I think yeah, obviously we're just with the amount of additional cash and opportunity that the IPO has brought, it's definitely going to be some exciting times ahead. But in terms of like directly right now, what it is, I struggle with giving you an exact answer. But I'd say the space generally, you know, is evolving very frequently, and there's so many new opportunities, you know, for e-commerce, for Payoneer, whoever it may be, to get involved in.
And would you just a question like that? Do you think at one point Amazon may provide loans to sellers? Is that something which you heard noises of, or because they're so cash rich that they could
they do actually offer a sort of a solution already, so okay. They are actually able to do that. So, you know, talk about competitors, Amazon are able to do that. I'd say that the biggest differentiator between that us and Amazon on that front is that if you don't repay Amazon have a lot more you know they have your whole business to stop, to suspend, to freeze, to have control of. So yes, another great solution. But I'd say that a lot of people would prefer to come to Payoneer for that because it's outside of the remit of having the loss of control. And, you know, it's not nice to talk about those situations and, you know, God forbid, hopefully it won't happen to anyone watching or to anyone at all. But, yeah, it's I suppose it's some sort of sense of security that the business will continue unsuspended if there was an issue for whatever reason. Mm.
It's a bit like when Amazon is proposing to do VAT. It's like when something you prefer to keep to yourself, right? Than to give it to Amazon. But it's interesting. Is it in the States only, or is it everywhere where they offer? Do you know?
I don't know exactly what the offer is. I believe it probably would be US definitely, and mm-hmm. and throughout the UK and EU, I would presume. But yeah, it's obviously there's always going to be competitors out there, and I suppose not saying
on invite only or something.
Yeah, I would imagine it would be an invite only, but yeah, I'm sure it's all available online if sellers are interested in comparing. But yeah, we have very favorable rates from our side, and obviously with no personal guarantees and credit checks, it's also like a really nice added bonus to have.
And maybe as a closing part, it's like, do you have an example of what went wrong for a seller? For example, what went super well, just not to have only super news, but it's like what you've seen. So you haven't been with Payoneer for 20 years, but like maybe you've seen already things which you would say, okay, be careful because that can go wrong. And on the other side, it's like a success story you can share because that gives a bit more... an example, like live example.
Yeah, so I would say that not like a direct example, but I would say where sellers would tend to go wrong, it would be a case of that they've put too much money in certain aspects, so overspending in the wrong areas. And it's very easy for me to say that, and of course with any business you can say that, but I would say that to be extremely mindful of the demand and to make sure that, you know, you're fulfilling that suitably and not overspending on inventory, but also not underspending as well. It's a very fine balance. I'd say that some sellers are using advances for ad spend. And yeah, ad spend is great and something that obviously I'm sure you, Jerome, could comment on this. But some sellers do spend too much on ads. And it's an interesting balance again. So I would say that from a perspective of how sellers should, you know, be very mindful and how it can go wrong, I'd say put the money in the right aspects before you expand to a new market. Make sure you do the due diligence. Make sure you know there's a market for it. Make sure that, you know, you test it, trial it before piling in tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of pounds of your own money or an advance. And make sure it works, make sure it's a profitable exercise. And I'd say that success stories, where there's been thousands of success stories that are shared consistently on Payoneer's feed, some of which are incredible. A few, you know, just generally from that have stayed with me and things that I remember from that is, you know, individuals that have come to Payoneer and were able to save sort of 7, 8, 9% in some cases of, you know, multi-million pound companies. And that really enabled them to free up their cash to obviously have more money to be able to invest and to expand into new marketplaces, to, you know, not actually just rely on Amazon, but to look at, you know, Rakuten, to look at Allegro and OnBuy and so on. And that really has transformed the way that they work. And of course, being able to get the injection of cash to be able to earn that cash back as well. So, not the specific examples you were looking for, but there are so many. And it's proven within how many sellers are so happy with Payoneer. Of course, with over 5 million users, you know, we must be doing something right.
that without that. And just a final question on, like, how much savings can you expect on the exchange rates? Typically, like if you decide, okay, from today I'm moving from like my bank account typical to like Payoneer accounts in my different currencies. What kind of savings could you expect in percentage?
So, typically,
you make 100,000 in terms of sales on the different currencies, you implement that. So obviously there is an exchange rate on partial of that, on the partial payments. How much in terms of percentage can you expect to gain, just to like the size of the price, let's say?
Depends on a number of different things, I'd say, but of course Payoneer have extremely favorable rates over other, like, such as banks and things, so it will work out in the seller's favor, but I'd say that, you know, when you look at conversions and what's built in, let's say from Amazon, for example, it's very rare that we wouldn't be able to at least save from someone that's using Amazon to receive funds, at least around, you know, from anywhere from 0.75 to 1%. And that's obviously
just where they are at 1.5, you're more likely at what, 0.5, 0.7, right?
Yeah. So yeah, it depends on the seller's volume and as I said, sort of what they're looking to get out of the account, and that's sort of part of the process of being onboarded through Payoneer. But yeah, I mean, typically there are different rates that are available to Payoneer customers. But yeah, we would be on a case by case depending on the volume of the seller. But, you know, it is very much favorable and very rare that we won't be able to sort of optimize a payment flow for a seller that is trading cross-border. So, in most cases, it's around 1% as a minimum. But in a lot of cases, I'd say the majority, it can be much, much more, as we talked about, sort of the general conversions going as high as sort of 8, 9, 10% when you don't use a payments provider like Payoneer. So we can make a very large difference, you know, when you look at that. So maybe 6, 7, 8% in some cases.
Yeah, so it really makes sense if you have a multi-million business, that's probably something you will want to look at, right? Correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you don't already have it, or you think that your bank is doing what's required, please, get in touch with us, because, you know, even just have a quick conversation and to have a free account with us is very, very straightforward.
Yeah. And it seems to me that the larger the company, the less it will want to use sort of service providers on their finance. It's like, although they should do, right? Because there's no... really other ways to optimize it, rather out of having local banks in every country probably, and then reconciling it somewhere else. But like, the larger you are, the more meaningful it is to have it on one platform, right? Because it's a one sourcing.
And I think that's a good point, that a lot of larger, when we talk about, you know, businesses turning over, let's say 100 million, for example, they become quite set in their ways. They don't like changes because it works. And I'm talking to a few companies at the moment of that volume, and it's incredible, like, how, you know, they're selling globally in many different continents and countries and currencies, and it's incredible of like the saving just from not using their bank, or the way that they're receiving their payments, not just from Amazon but also Shopify. So we can really dive into the payment flows, the movement of money from A to B. And we can just review that and say, well, you know, this is what it's charging you at the moment. This is how it's going to be. But to have it all under one platform is absolutely essential. From, you know, it's much easier to obviously manage, but also, you know, to be able to pay the tax office, pay your suppliers in network, out of network payments at much more favorable exchange rates is a no brainer, especially where it's free to set up an account.
Yeah, no, that's a great insight. Thank you very much, Tom. It's been a great session. I think it's often overlooked that, okay, you've got savings to do, and as we were talking about, that like profitability is a big question mark with Amazon if you're a vendor, but also if you're a seller, because the costs tend to pile up, like FBA costs tend to increase. If you're only your stock in Germany, you've got 50 cents additional, this and that. So the things tend to load up, and you need to be careful, even though you're selling at the end user price, like MSRP, not at the cost price. So anyway, thank you very much, Tom. We will have another session on the 30th of September with Andrew Pearl to talk about using data. He's from Profitero, and he will tell us how you can use data to leverage and grow your business. Thanks again, Tom. Thanks, everyone. And see you very soon.
Thank you very much. See you later.
Bye-bye.